This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners. /Pioneer.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, filling in today for Earl Robinson, who's taking a bit of a long weekend, and why not? He picked a perfect day, just absolutely beautiful outside. I had a chance to spend most of the morning outside with some kids at a local school, and they were enjoying the nice weather, and we hope that you are doing the same, or if you're driving around. We appreciate you listening today here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Aaron is on the other side of the glass. He's going to be producing today's program. We want to say, first of all, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you.
How are you today?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Good. We had a slight change in our production meeting from earlier today. We did tease the fact that Lansing Lugnut manager John Tamargo Jr. would be joining us on today's program. Unfortunately, due to some duties that he has with the team today, he will not be able to join us. But we can tell you that indeed the Lugnuts, after their 47-22 first half, will begin the second half of their season. Of course, they're the East Division first half champions. They've already qualified for the playoffs. They begin their second half tonight at home with the Great Lakes Loons, and it is a special night at the ballpark. It is a kids eat free night. If you have children who are 12 years and younger, they would get a free hot dog, chips, and a drink if you are at tonight's Lansing Lugnut game. Again, taking on the Great Lakes Loons as they begin their second half of their season. I will be out there as well enjoying tonight's game. So if you're out there and you see me, say hello. We'll be enjoying some Midwest League baseball tonight in downtown Lansing against the Lansing Lugnuts and the Great Lakes Loons. So again, we will not have John Tamargo Jr. on today. He had a couple of duties he had to take care of with the team, and I'm sure Earl or one of the other guests will have him on here before too long. Coming up on today's show, there's a lot to cover, actually. We are in kind of the off-season, if you will, as far as sports are concerned. The high school season wrapped up their action last weekend. There's nothing going on as far as Michigan State is concerned. They've kind of wrapped their seasons up as well. But when you think about it, we are really about a month away, though, from talking about college football. Just over a month from today, I will be in Chicago for the annual Big Ten football kickoff meetings. We'll have a chance to sit down with all 12 coaches around the Big Ten and look forward to their seasons. Of course, the big news item in the past couple days about college football has been this formation of this four-team playoff now that we're going to have in 2014. We'll do away with the BCS and we'll start deciding a national champion by a four-team playoff, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in today's show as well. You can join us. We will be open line the entire program today. This is kind of a Friday dedicated to you, the callers. 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR if you're in the 517 area code. If you are outside that 517 area code, you can call us toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We will welcome your phone calls throughout the program today up until 2 o'clock. Last night, the NBA Finals wrapped up and LeBron James finally has his ring. And I think at about 36 to 48 hours, I can start watching ESPN again, because it's just been nauseating here over the past 10 days or so with all the NBA talk. For those of you who have heard me host this show before, or maybe other shows in the area, I am not shy to let everybody know that the NBA is probably my least favorite of the professional sports. It's you know, I grew up in the Jordan era, the Magic era with Larry Bird, and the game has just changed so much on the court, off the court. It has changed a lot, and for me, not much for the better. But with that being said, the NBA Finals are in the book. It was a convincing win last night for the Miami Heat I also usually quip that, you know, you can watch the last 2 minutes of any NBA game and see the outcome, but that was not the case last night. If you tuned in the last couple of minutes, you saw a game that was a blowout. Oklahoma City really never in game number five, and they never had a chance to take it back to Oklahoma City after they lost game two on their home court. You know, Miami went on to win the three on their home floor, and so all the talk now will be about not just LeBron winning his championship, but again, we have to jump ahead and where does this put him in the history of basketball? Where is his place now among the best players of all time that he does have his championship? And that was really the only thing that was lacking from his resume was a championship. And now that he has one, where is his place? I still think it's a little too early to talk about where that place is, because he's still so young and has plenty left in his career. I doubt that this will be the only championship that he wins in his career. It was his third time in the finals, and as we mentioned, he was finally able to get that championship last night. You know, shown hugging the trophy, not really wanting to let go of it. Dwayne Wade won his second championship, but a rather convincing win for the Miami Heat. So if you want to recap that series, we can do that if you'd like to. Again, at 355-9527, that's 355-WKAR, toll free at 877-952-7870, that's 877-WKAR-870. We also talk a little Major League Baseball. The Tigers won their fourth series in a row last night, well, I should say yesterday afternoon. They were able to knock off the St. Louis Cardinals 2-1 in extra innings. Again, that's four straight series now that they've won two of the three games in that series. They are 8-11 now. I'm sorry, 8-4 over their last 12 games, and you know, playing some of their best baseball. They're off to Pittsburgh tonight to start a series with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh with a 36-32 record. The Tigers at 34-35, so needing one more win to get to that illustrious 500 mark. Doug Fister, 1-3 with a 2.68 ERA. We'll get the start tonight for the Tigers, who are currently 2.5 games behind the Cleveland Indians. The White Sox are just half a game back in that AL Central. Kansas City, 4.5 back. Minnesota is 9 games back. And in the Central, Pittsburgh hanging in there at 36-32. They're currently 2 games back of Cincinnati in the National League Central. St. Louis, who the Tigers just took care of 2 out of 3 games, they are 4 games back in the American League Central. We're getting close to the All-Star game. To me, it looks like you know, Justin Verlander and Miguel Cabrera are probably locks for the All-Star game. Prince Fielder, I think, has a pretty good chance of making that All-Star team as well for the Tigers. And again, as I mentioned, they've now won 8 of their last 12 games. And since that stretch at the beginning of the season, they are now playing some of their best baseball. Still going through the injury bug, though. Gerald Laird injured a little bit. And again, injuries continue to haunt this team a little bit, but they found a way to hang in there. It hasn't always been pretty. It hasn't always been beautiful baseball, and Jim Leland recognizes that, you know, saying the other night that even though they are in a pretty good stretch right now, he understands that because of the struggles that they had early in the season, that many people have jumped off that Tiger bandwagon. But he's hoping that as the season winds on, more and more people will jump back on that bandwagon. And again, this is kind of the Tiger team that we expected to see coming out of spring training. This is the team on paper that was supposed to run away with the American League Central. That has not happened yet. That doesn't mean that it won't happen. I still believe they'll win the division because of the talent they have on that team and because the division is one of the weaker divisions in baseball. But again, the Indians and White Sox have played pretty well to begin this season. We'll see if the Tigers are able to overcome them over the next couple months or so. So we got a couple topics there for you. We've got a little college football if you'd like to talk about that. We can talk NBA and wrap that up a little bit, or some Major League Baseball if you want to talk about the Tigers and what they have going on. Again, those telephone numbers to get involved. Today's kind of a special day for you callers. That's the one thing that I enjoy when I'm able to fill in and do some of these radio shows is the interaction that I get to have with you, the callers, you, the sports fans. And on TV, we don't get that right away. You know, we're just talking into a camera. So this is our chance to interact with you, and we certainly like to do that here on Sports Talk on WKAR. You can reach us toll-free at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We also want to pass along a couple of news and notes items from around sports today that we have on our wire system. Here's one that was new to me. San Antonio Spurs guard Tony Parker is suing a New York City club and its operators for $20 million over a scratched cornea he says he suffered during a fight involving singer Chris Brown and members of hip-hop stars Drake's entourage. The suit was filed in a state Supreme Court in Manhattan on Thursday. It says the WIP Club in Soho and its operators were negligent in security and supervision, which allowed the fight to take place. Chris Brown, his girlfriend, and his bodyguard were among eight people injured during the fight inside the club last week. Police say members of Drake's entourage stopped Brown as he was leaving. The fight escalated and bottles were thrown at them. There was no answer at the phone numbers when they tried to get a hold of those affiliated with that lawsuit. So, looks like wrong place, wrong time there for Tony Parker as he was involved in that. We are also still awaiting a word from the jury in the Jerry Sandusky case. Jurors are deliberating now for the second day there. The defense rested on Wednesday. Jerry Sandusky did not take the stand. If anything does break here over the next 45 minutes or so, we will be sure to pass along any kind of completion in that case if the jury comes back with any kind of decision within the next hour. They wanted to rehear some testimony from a couple of the witnesses, and they did that. And we'll now be moving on to continue to deliberate in that case. We also want to talk about an interesting story here from the world of soccer. And again, those of you who've listened to me on other shows, I am in the minority, Aaron, of soccer fans in the area. And that's okay with me, but I am in the minority. But we do have a story from Liverpool, England, that a Liverpool soccer fan has been banned for 4 years from attending Liverpool and England games after being found guilty of racially abusing Manchester United captain Patrice Evra. Philip Gannon was seen on live television making a racially offensive monkey gesture during the FA Cup fourth-round match between the two teams. Racism is something that has plagued the sport of soccer, which, of course, is the most popular sport in the world, worldwide, you know, in Europe and South America, it is a huge, and even Asia, it's really grown there, a huge, huge sport, and continues to grow. But this is something that has plagued the sport for many, many years. It's gotten a lot better, but as you can see, things are still not perfect. And Philip Gannon will be banned for 4 years after making racially offensive gestures during that match between those two teams. So a couple of things that crossed our wire here today, and just a couple of different things that we are kind of keeping our eyes on as well. We do have a story coming up here a little bit later in today's show that we'll talk about concerning Michigan State basketball and some national news about the Spartans and one of their players, who is being lauded as a potential breakout player nationally in 2012 and 2013. We will go over that. And again, continue to take your phone calls. This day is kind of for you today to call in and talk sports with us at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR or toll-free 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR. 870. But we do invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
Voyager 1 is about to cross into uncharted territory, interstellar space. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at what the space probe may find out there in the great beyond. Plus, China's first woman in orbit, what's next, and peering into the dark side of the universe. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. This is Scott Pohl with the weather. Our high today, 78 degrees. Mostly sunny, a slight chance of light rain and isolated thunderstorms. Partly cloudy and a low of 55 tonight. Tomorrow's high 81, it'll be mostly sunny. Mostly cloudy Sunday, maybe rain and thunderstorms, and a high of 80.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV filling in today for Earl Robinson. We will be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon talking sports with you. You can give us a call, and we'd like to hear your opinions, your thoughts on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Aaron, I have a feeling that most people are probably outside enjoying the nice weather, and I can't say I blame them.
Yeah, I don't blame them either. It's beautiful outside. I had to walk here, so yeah, it is beautiful outside.
After earlier in the week where it was, you know, 90, 94, you know, plus, and it was pretty miserable, the temperatures have kind of cooled down a little bit. But we are welcoming your phone calls today on Sports Talk at 355-9527, 355-WKAR, toll-free 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR 870. Again, kind of going over the topics du jour of today's show. We can talk a little Major League Baseball with you. The Tigers continuing interleague play as they go to Pittsburgh tonight to take on the Pirates. We're also talking a little college football as well. A couple of days ago, the BCS commissioners decided to get together once again, and they've finally come to a consensus that they are now taking on to the school presidents about a four-team playoff that will start in 2014. And again, we're talking a little NBA Finals. Last night, LeBron James and the Miami Heat taking care of Oklahoma City in Game 5 and winning that first championship for LeBron James. Of course, the Miami Heat have won the title before, but it's the first one for LeBron James. In watching Aaron LeBron celebrate last night, there was a lot of joy, but to me it looked like a lot of relief too. I mean, much was said about the struggles that he had last year in the finals, and I think he learned a lot from that, and just watching the way that he handled himself this year, he really looked like a man on a mission, and watching him last night, I don't know if you had a chance to see it, but a lot of relief on his face as he just kind of hugged that trophy, and I don't even know if he's let go of it yet.
Yeah, he probably hasn't. He probably slept with it last night because being the MVP of that. Yeah, you know, I was able to catch it, and I mean, I'm in agreement. It does look like it was a lot of relief. I mean, I'm sure he learned from his mistake when he left Cleveland to go to Miami, and he probably looks back at that and, you know, sees how stupid that really was. And now that he's been able to win the championship here, you know, it's probably a lot of relief, and I think we got our first caller today.
All right, we'll let you go and take care of that. Again, a triple-double. I mean, he just dominated the entire NBA Finals and from start to finish, and was by far the best player on the floor. He really took care of business helping Miami win that championship. And, you know, if everybody remembers, you know, when the big three got together, it was going to be not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but you know, how many championships did the big three of Wade and James and Bosch think that they were going to be able to win? They've got that first one under their belt, and they'll have a chance to go for many, many more, I'm sure. All right, let's go out to our phone lines this afternoon at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR if you're in the 517 area code, or you can call us toll-free, 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Let's go out to line one this afternoon and welcome in Dennis, who's in Detroit. Hi, Dennis. How are you?
I'm good, Jeremy. How are you?
Well, good to talk to you. How's everything?
It's good. I can't complain at all. Can't complain at all. I have an opinion on LeBron I want to convey to you.
All right.
But and I'll do that first. But before we hang up, I do want to ask you about your your conclusion about where the NBA is today relative to where it was in the past. But I just want to say real quickly, I don't understand all the animosity that's directed toward LeBron James by so many fans out here. He is rapidly ascending to the top, and I'm not saying the very top, but certainly in the top 10, top 20 of all-time great NBA players. He's got a very pleasant personality. He's a family man. He's never had any issues with drunk driving or drugs. He's never beat up any woman. He's never been blatantly disrespectful to his coach or fans. He just seems like a genuinely nice person, the kind of person you'd like to have in your circle of friends. And I just don't get why he's so reviled. It seems to me because he had the temerity to tell Cleveland he no longer wanted to be employed by them, that he's being thrown under the bus and criticized. And, you know, I have yet to hear any explanation that I can buy into as to why people hate him so much. It's way out of proportion relative to his character. I've heard guys call Earl on this very air and call him arrogant and call him egotistical and selfish. And I don't see any of that. I mean, the way he plays the game is certainly unselfish. Anybody who's at his level of success at the very top of every organization he's been in is going to have an ego, but I don't see it outside to the point where, say, Michael Jordan was. So I don't necessarily need you to respond to that, Jeremy. You can if you want to, but I just don't understand that. And the other thing I want to ask you about is I frequently hear people criticize the NBA, and it's been done since, you know, I was a little kid, and I started watching the NBA in the late 60s. It was never good enough, even though it was very popular. It was always better before as opposed to where it is now. And I just want to hear from you, why do you think the NBA is an inferior product relative to when Magic and Bird were playing? What's the difference that makes you say that it's not as good of a product?
All right, Dennis, let's tackle number one first. And I'm kind of with you on LeBron James a little bit. I think much of the venom that he's gotten from people, especially, I mean, it comes from the way that he handled the move from Cleveland to Miami. But I read a thing the other day that because of, you know, the partnership that he formed with the Boys and Girls Clubs, which was part of the reason why he did the whole press conference and you know, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. He's raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million for the Boys and Girls Clubs as a part of, you know, what he did with that. And, you know, that doesn't get talked about much. So I understand where you're going from, but I think it just came from the everyday fan looking at that decision and the way he handled it. I don't think anybody can question the decision itself. It was more the way he handled it, if you know what I mean.
So, Jeremy, not to interrupt you, but just stop there for a minute. Let's suppose he totally mishandled that announcement. And I could agree that there was a better way to handle it. It's analogous to me to saying he got caught going 80 in the 70 and you want to give him a 5-year prison sentence, the way the fans reacted to it. I mean, he made a mistake. He could have handled it better. He should have had better PR advice. But the way the fans, some fans have reacted to that is, again, as if he beat up some teenage boy in public. I don't get it. It wasn't that big of a deal. Well, go ahead. I'm listening.
No, I'm to be honest, I'm more on your side of the argument. I mean, I do hear the venom that people have for him. You know, obviously in Cleveland, it was a pretty dark day. Everybody remembers Dan Gilbert, you know, saying afterwards, "We're going to win a championship before he does." That didn't happen, right?
Dan, I heard people wishing the man dead, literally.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were burning his jerseys. I mean, that was way over the top. But again, there was probably a better way to handle it, and Cleveland was hurt. I mean, you know, I saw a guy put on Twitter today, LeBron James and I have something in common. We've both left Ohio. I mean, and it's a little slight to not only Cleveland, but the entire state. So that being said, I'm more with you, though. I don't understand the total venom for him. He's clearly the best basketball player in the world today. I mean, by far, and will go down as one of the top five players, I think, of all time when his career is all said and done. And he's probably going to win, you know, 3, maybe 4 NBA championships, you know, before things all wrap up for him. As far as my feelings for the NBA, I think one of the things that bothers me the most from an X and O standpoint, first of all, is many of the offenses run are the 1-4 sets, where we isolate one player on one side of the floor and the four other guys on offense go stand on the other side. And when I say stand, they stand. They're not moving. Nobody's cutting. They stand. And it's right. It's one-on-one, mano-a-mano. I'm going to take you off the dribble. I'm going to go to the rack, or I'm going to pull up and I'm going to shoot a 10, 15-footer, whatever it might be, or I'm going to shoot a three. And if I want to watch that, I can go down to the Y. Or I can play, you know, I see enough of that in my lunchtime basketball game that I play in. I don't need to watch that on TV or pay a lot of money to watch that. To me, that's not basketball.
Now, would you include the pick and roll in that type of basketball?
I would not. I would not. And I know that many NBA teams do run the pick and roll, and it's more utilized in professional basketball, frankly, than it is in college. And,
right.
You know, that form of offense goes back to, you know, James Naismith and the Peach Baskets. I mean, that's the very beginnings of running an offense in basketball. But it is run more in the NBA. That's my one criticism on the floor.
Okay, now before you go on, just a quick question.
Yeah.
Now, Miami didn't play that kind of basketball. They ran a lot of backside picks and had a lot of ball movement all year. Boston didn't do that. The Dallas Mavericks didn't play that way last year, and they won it. Some of your best teams lately, the Chicago Bulls certainly didn't run that type of offense. So that's not necessarily endemic in the NBA. To your point, a lot of teams do play that way, but not a lot of the good ones. But go ahead.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right. Not a lot of the good ones, because they understand that's probably not the best way to play the game. If you want to win, that's right. If you want to be successful, that's probably not the best way to go. Off the floor, I mean, there have just been, for me, too many issues, and maybe it's too many young guys with too much money in their hands getting into too many issues. And the list is long and numerous. There's a certain respect factor there for the game. There's a certain respect factor there for the profession that I think gets lost sometimes. And, you know, maybe it's for me because I thought, you know, Jordan was kind of the golden age, and that's ended. And we still have a lot of great players in the game today. And maybe you're right. Maybe the next generation will say, well, this generation is so much better than when LeBron and Kobe played, and is way better than when Magic and Bird were there.
Or they'll say they're way worse, which is likely what's going to happen.
Right. Or, yeah, this era, you know, couldn't even touch what we're going through now. So, I mean, that's kind of my whole thing. I mean, you know, Dwight Howard's situation could be used as an example. You know, he's not the first guy in the NBA who ever wanted to run his coach out of town. But, you know, in this day and age of social media and needing information immediately, that thing spread like wildfire. And it may not have done that, you know, 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. It wouldn't even been like that. Just so many little things that for me, I'd rather spend my time, you know, doing other things. And I think the other part of it is a lot of the games, while exciting, don't get exciting until the last couple of minutes. You know, we saw that in games 2, 3, and 4 in the finals. You know, these were one possession games late in the game. You can kind of pick it up with 2 minutes to go, see everything you need to see. One other thing that I despise about the NBA, it takes a half an hour to play the last 2 minutes. Why is that? I mean, that's the other thing that drives me nuts.
All right, well, I'll stipulate that's true, the same thing with college basketball. And I'll be real brief, I know other people want to talk, but a couple things. Read books from the era, contemporary books from the era of any of your favorite players, and really examine what was going on off the court with those guys. I'm talking from the Bill Russell era, from the Abdul-Jabbar era, from Magic and Bird era in the 90s with Jordan. Some of the same things, some of the same misbehavior was going on then. And maybe, to your point, they didn't have the bright light of social media and instant communication shining on them that made it a little bit easy for them to get away with some of that without the public scrutiny. And to the players having leverage in order to determine who's going to be on their team and who coaches them. Hey, man, get in any corporate organization, and I guarantee you, you'll see some people who get their boss fired or try to get their boss fired or try to get their situation changed. That's just human beings, Jeremy. That's just how it is in life, man.
It's a jungle out there, Dennis. It's a jungle.
Yeah, it is. All right, man. Good talking to you. I'll let you go.
All right, I appreciate the thoughts today. Dennis out there driving around and you know, Aaron, he's one of my favorite callers on here because he's very rational, very thoughtful, doesn't fly off the handle at any one thing, as fans normally try and do, or fans end up doing. You know, they're like the stock market, up and down, up and down. Team wins, they're up. Team loses, they're up. It's kind of how they go. You know, Dennis is flatline. He's there, he's thoughtful, and we certainly appreciate his thoughts today. I mean, am I wrong on this? I mean, it's funny because when I did Tim's show this week, you know, I made my thoughts clear about the NBA. And I had more people, surprisingly, I thought, supporting me saying, you know, tell it like it is. The NBA is almost over, right? I won't have to hear about it for a couple months. Then I did saying, oh, you're wrong. This is so exciting. You have to watch this. You have to see this. You can't miss this game. I didn't feel like last night, I can't miss this game. I've got to see it. It's game five. LeBron's going to win his ring. I didn't feel like that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I tuned in on ESPN3.com, watched it on my computer the last 2 minutes, and, you know,
it was way over by then.
Yeah, and I'm like, wait, where's LeBron? Oh, there he is on the bench, and they got all their reserves playing, you know, the game. You know, I'm in agreement with you. I'm not a huge fan of the NBA, and I think to some of your points, you know, as far as the play style and those kind of things, you know, I agree with that. Sometimes it's just mano y mano, and, you know, that's not what I want to see. I mean, it's a team sport. I mean, you know, you go back to saying back to the good old days, you know, they played team sports. They didn't do a lot of one-on-one. So I'm in agreement. And I mean, we've had people on this show before, even some of the, you know, other writers, and, you know, you're in the business more than I am. I mean, I'm sure some of the writers and those kind of people agree with you too. Some people we have on, they just can't watch the NBA for, you know, for particular reasons, and some of which you've stated today. So, I mean, I'm sure you're not the only one in the profession that, you know, would agree that, you know, the NBA has its flaws, but, you know, I just can't get super excited about, you know, the NBA Finals.
Well, I was surprised, actually. There hasn't been more that has come out lately about the David Stern interaction with Jim Rome and how bad the NBA commissioner came off in that interview, whether he thought Rome's line of questioning was good, bad, or indifferent. There has to be somewhat of a level of decorum there that you have to have as the commissioner of a major league like that, to end the interview, but to come off like he did was really bad. I'm surprised there hasn't been more backlash since then. It happened. It's been replayed a bunch. You know, it was hot right after it happened, but it's kind of quieted down a little bit. I'm surprised that that those in the NBA and maybe behind the scenes that we're not seeing and we're not witnessing, you know, maybe Mr. Stern got a little letter reprimanding him for his actions on the radio. For those of you who missed it, he didn't like some of the line of questioning that Jim Rome was giving him about the NBA lottery being fixed, and he made many derogatory comments toward Jim Rome. You know, and a little bit of it got taken out of context when he was talking about beating his wife. He wasn't actually talking about Rome beating his wife. It was an analogy for the way that Rome handles many of his things. It was just a poor choice of words. So I was a little surprised that that we haven't heard more about that. All right, almost time for us to take break number two in today's show. We want to remind you we will be open phone until 2 o'clock. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. In for Earl Robinson today, and you can get involved in today's program at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR870. And we will take your phone calls right after this. We invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk right after this short break, right here on WKAR AM 870.
What if a doctor could print out a spare body part, or a pastry chef print out cupcake icing? I'm Ira Flatto. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the promises of 3D printing, plus award-winning and sexy tall buildings, and what your brain looks like when you lose self-control. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
All right, that's coming up on Talk of the Nation right here at 3 p.m. on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
A slight chance of light rain and isolated thunderstorms today, otherwise mostly sunny, the high in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy tonight, the low 55. Tomorrow, a high of 81 and mostly sunny. Mostly cloudy for Sunday, maybe rain and thunderstorms, and a high of 80 degrees. This is Scott Pohl.
Thank you very much, Scott, and welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson in for Earl Robinson today, and we will take you right up until the 2 o'clock hour, taking your phone calls today over the last segment of today's show at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Some of the topics, if you'd like to choose for today's show, we're talking a little Major League Baseball with the Tigers, playing very well as of late, winning 8 of their last 12 games. We're talking NBA Finals that just wrapped up last night, the Miami Heat and LeBron James winning his first championship. And we're also talking about the death of the bowl championship series in college football and how a college football 4-team playoff will take place coming up in 2014. We're going to get to more of that in just a minute, but I want to share with you an article that was written on ESPN.com yesterday by Eamon Brennan, who writes for .com. He's a college basketball writer, and he wrote an article about 10 potential breakout players for the 2012-2013 season. And going through the list, there is only one player listed from the Big Ten, and that would be none other than Michigan State point guard Keith Appling. He writes as follows: fans of college hoops already know Appling as Tom Izzo's defensive stalwart. He's also a fast-breaking point guard, and for good reason. The sophomore, a key contributor in Michigan State, winning a share of the Big Ten championship and getting that number one seed last year in the NCAA tournament. But with the team's do-everything leader Draymond Green gone and a batch of younger, less experienced players rounding out the rotation, Appling has a chance to evolve from a nice complimentary piece and went into one of the Big Ten's bona fide stars. So we can also talk a little college hoops if you'd like. Great write-up there for Michigan State and Keith Appling. Again, that's an article on ESPN.com written by Eamon Brennan, listing 10 potential breakout players for next season. I think that the Michigan State basketball team is as maybe funny as this sounds, because of, you know, Draymond Green leaving and what he brought to the team last year. But I think that this year's team coming up, and a lot of it depends on the health of Brandon Dawson and getting him back from the ACL injury and him coming back at near 100%, the Brandon Dawson that we saw flashes of last year. If they can get him back to 100%, I think this team has the potential to be even better than last year's team. And you would think, well, how can that happen, losing a leader like Green and a go-to guy like Draymond Green? But you're adding more pieces to the puzzle. The guys have had some workouts already this summer, and from everything that that I've heard so far, Kenny Kaminsky, incoming freshman, is playing well. I've heard good things about Denzel Valentine. Of course, people in this area know him from Sexton High School, and he brings such versatility to Tom Izzo's lineup. He can basically play, you know, 1 through 4. Probably won't play as much shooting guard, but could play any one of those four positions at the next level. And he has been impressive so far this summer as well. So there's going to be more pieces, and this has a chance to be one of Tom Izzo's deepest teams. There at times, you know, the one thing that a coach can really hold over a player's head and hold them accountable for is their playing time. And I think this year, more than anything else, Tom Izzo is really going to be able to hold guys accountable who maybe aren't playing well and say, look, I've got, you know, two guys behind you who may be a little bit inexperienced, but I've got a couple guys behind you who can do their thing And they can do it just as well, if not better, than you can. So I think he's going to be able to use that as a little leverage this year for some of his guys to make sure that they are performing at their best. And I'm sure that will be a little bit of a motivational tactic for Coach Izzo this year. But that's going to be a fun team to watch, an exciting team to watch. Gary Harris, of course, regarded as one of the top five, top 10 players in America, depending on recruits in America, depending on which source you look at. He'll be coming to town a little bit later this summer. He's, I think, one of the only freshmen who's not here yet on campus, but he will be coming here very soon as well to kind of get his college career kick-started, as many of the guys get on campus early in the summer to get acclimated to classes. They may take a class or two in the summer just to get that academic schedule underway to get them ready for the fall when classes begin in earnest. We have about 15 minutes left in today's show here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV filling in today for Earl. And you can reach us at 355-9527 if you want to participate in today's show. That's 355-WKAR or toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR. 870. Again, we talked a little bit about that college football playoff, and that was just announced by the BCS commissioners 2 days ago after their meetings in Chicago, where it's been determined that they will take their findings, and they are all in agreement. They all got in a big ballroom at a hotel together. They marched up in solidarity to this podium, and at lockstep, everybody's in agreement. We're ready to go. And again, that they are going to talk to the school presidents and recommend that in 2014 the BCS go away, and we have what amounts to a four-team tournament to determine college football's national champion. What they're planning on doing right now, and I really think it's the best option of all the options that I've heard, is somewhat like the NCAA basketball tournament, is forming a committee. And that committee would be formed, would track the college football football season all year long. And then at the end, that committee would come together and use their formula, and they would determine, and that formula a little bit is still to be determined, but they would have to find a way to pick the four best teams, and one would then play four and two would play three in semifinal games, and they would use the existing BCS bowls on a rotation basis to play that semifinal game, and then each year they would bid out to a place like Cowboy Stadium or the Superdome or wherever to have that national championship game after those two semifinal winners do win. The one question that I still have and that I hope gets answered for not just the fans, but the coaches, the athletic directors, and all the administrators at each school is what exactly is the criteria that that committee will be using in order to pick those four teams? I think sometimes when the college basketball committee gets together and they make their decisions, and most of the time it's on the teams that are on the bubble to get in the tournament, is, you know, why did this team get in and why didn't this team get in? And it's not always clear, or sometimes changes from year to year depending on who's on the committee as to what exactly the committee's looking for. So I hope before this thing is said and done, that it's written out so that everybody understands these are the criteria that that committee is looking for in order to get the top four teams every year. All right, let's go out to our phone lines and welcome in our good friend Jerry, who is in Hazlet, as he is every day, or most every day. We haven't had a chance to talk to Jerry in a little bit. So good afternoon, Jerry. How are you?
Doing fine, Jeremy. I could give you the reason for my call, but I think the two words Pavlov's dog might explain it. I hear you're co-hosting. I've just got a call, pal.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. We haven't talked in a while. How are things?
Not bad, my friend. I just wanted to follow up on my good friend Dennis's call. I wish I could have a rational explanation for Dennis's question about the animus for LeBron, except that, as we all know, none of this is rooted in rationality or logic. Let's not forget that fan is short for fanatic.
Yep.
Or fanaticism. I mean, when you have the elements of that and the affiliation that fans have for their cities and for teams, you know, you've got fantasy leagues now. You've got there's such a diverse array of influences and options and media out there, and there's so many reasons for someone to either follow somebody or to root against someone. Things seem to have been ratcheted up because of social media and sports talk and everything to a point where, you know, a guy like LeBron, you know, on the food chain of knuckleheads is way not even probably wouldn't make the top 100.
Sure. Yep.
But he said he made a couple, as you mentioned, he made a two or three, probably poorly thought out PR moves. Even as you said, given the benefit to the boys' clubs, which mm-hmm. has been, you know,
monstrous,
pretty much buried.
It's a lot of money.
On the whole decision announcement, but between that and some of the comments he's made, the big show after they all signed, the whole glitch in South Beach too. So there are a lot of reasons why these things happen, but clearly it has nothing and very little to do with logic or rationality, because there really is no real reason to go after someone like LeBron, except he's a pretty big target right now, and you can't walk that stuff back either. You know, Jeremy, you can't unring the bell once you say it. The ripple effect now is incredible. He's actually going to have to go out and win two or three or four championships probably to get to the point where the majority of the public, puts that stuff behind it.
Well, I think part of the thing, too, is that in our society, in this day and age, we like to take those people who are at the top of whatever profession and tear them down. And LeBron is clearly the best player in the NBA right now. I don't even think it's close. I think Kevin Durant is at times a better scorer, but he's certainly not a better overall player when you take everything into account. But we like to take those people who are on the mountaintop and try and knock them off. And in our society, we like to knock them off and then find a way to, put them back on that pedestal or put them back on top of that mountain.
Yeah, I mean, and the kid came out of high school, but he's certainly not the only one. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that can't stand Kevin Garnett for a long time.
Sure.
But he doesn't seem to get the kind of shots that... But, I mean, you know, he, players contribute to it themselves. You just have to be very conscious of what you're doing. Every little thing, every statement you make. I just came up on a talk show earlier this morning, and I just mentioned that the blueprint for that is someone like Derek Jeter, all right? And there are several other examples besides Derek Jeter about how to basically stay visible, stay viable, stay positive, keep your reputation, and just not endanger it with one or two statements. And, you know, the other element is that he's seen as leaving a small market to go to, paradise. And these days, with the money these guys are making, there is a certain amount of envy about that, and I think just bad feeling that's engendered because of it. No other reason, but it doesn't matter who the player is. It's always kind of fascinating to watch how the public reacts and what that curve, the arc of fame, does. You know, on the way up, and then once you reach a certain point,
sure.
Things tend to you're held to a higher standard, and the slightest misstep can knock you right off the mountain.
Jerry, quickly give me your thoughts here as we're getting close to the end of the hour on this newly formed committee that's going to do away with the BCS and give us our four-team playoff in college football.
I think it's long overdue, Jeremy. I think that these guys are like the Dutch boy at the dike. Okay, they know it's inevitable, like a lot of things in our society. The public wants it. There's no other reason not to do it, including money. But they just want to be sure that they have their fingerprints on it, and some influence as to how the rules of the game are going to be set. That's all that's left to them, is to set the rules.
Well,
I don't care what the number is. I think four is fine to start with, but I think it'll expand. I think everybody knows it will.
I think, like you say, it's long overdue. All right, I'm back in the hot seat again, I think, next Friday or a couple Fridays from now. So, you know, keep the dial tuned in, and I hope to hear from you then.
Will do, Jeremy. Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, Jerry. Same to you. Let's go back out to our phone lines. We have about 5 minutes left in today's show. We want to welcome in Phil. He is also listening today in Hazlitt. How are you, Phil?
Very well. Make sure I understand you correctly. Are you suggesting that Tom Izzo coaches with intimidation?
I didn't say that. I said it's his...
No,
I said it's his tactic to use playing time as something to motivate his players to play better. And he is a coach among many coaches who will use that. Now, in times, he's had teams where he's only had 6 or 7 players in his playing group. And, you know, you can't really tell a guy, okay, you know, if you're not playing well, I'm going to replace you with this walk-on. It doesn't quite work that way. But this is going to be one of his deepest teams, and I think he's going to be able to use that as motivation with his guys. He's done that before, and I'm sure he'll do it again this year because his team is so deep.
You're saying playing time instead of intimidation.
That's what I said.
Thank you.
All right, Phil. Appreciate the phone call. I'm glad I could clear that up. Did I say intimidation, Aaron? Did I say intimidation?
No. Okay. I don't think you did. You cleared it up, though. That's what counts.
I want to make sure that we're not. Yes. My coaches used to do that in high school, and we were terrible. So I'm sure that's going to be part of the deal. All right. If you want to sneak in one final phone call, we've got a couple minutes left to go. We can do that at 355-9527, 355-WKAR, or we can do it toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Again, we mentioned early in today's program, the Lansing Lugnuts will begin the second half of their season tonight, 7:05 first pitch with the Great Lakes Loons at Cooley Law School Stadium. It's also a special night. Kids eat free. If you take your kids out there, 12 and under, you get a free hot dog, free drink, and they will take care of you out there tonight. So that's going on as well. I think they also might have some fireworks tonight after the game as well. With it being one of the longer days of the year, you'll have to wait around probably a little bit for it to get dark to sneak in those fireworks. Again, you know, keep your eyes on the Tigers this weekend. They've got a chance tonight to get themselves to the 500 mark if they can knock off the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they will certainly try and do that tonight, get to that 500 mark. They're just a couple games out of first place in the American League Central as we get closer to the All-Star break here, and trying to get ready for that stretch run and get themselves ready to go. Again, as I mentioned before, we had a couple of those phone calls. I'm really happy that this college football thing is finally starting to work itself out, where we're going to have that decided on the field by the top four teams. I was fortunate enough last year to have a vote in the Associated Press poll, and I went back and I looked at If you were taking my poll to look at, you know, what the top couple of teams would have been if we would have been able to use that system of 1 versus 4 and then 2 versus 3 to come up with a couple of semifinalists, if you would, to get them ready to go and get them into those semifinals before that we got into the finals. Let's try Kenneth from Lansing. Kenneth, you have about 60 seconds. How are you today?
Doing great. Early in your show, you had mentioned that one of our players was going to get some national notoriety, and I may have missed that because I had to run into the store, so I was wondering, what was that about?
Yep. Keith Appling was named in an article written on ESPN.com as one of the top 10 players to look out for in 2012-2013.
Okay.
So that's what that was about, all right?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Kenneth, we appreciate the phone call today. That music means we are approaching the end of today's program. Aaron, excellent job on the other side of the glass.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks for filling in today.
No problem. My pleasure. And like I said, I think I'm in the hot seat again in a week.
Yeah,
Maybe. I think it's next Friday, but
right.
I have to go day by day. My schedule is so nuts that I believe it's next Friday. So we'll try and book a guest or two for next Friday. John Tamargo Jr. Ken from the Lugnuts Couldn't make it in today because of a couple things he had to handle with the ball club, but I'm sure Earl will get him on at some point. Thanks again for all the listeners, all the callers who called in today. We appreciate that. We hope you have a very safe and happy weekend. You've been listening to WKAR East Lansing. We come to you every Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.